Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us again. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Calvin. This is Picayune Conversations.
God, I would have forgotten that part. Today, we're going to talk about something kind of niche, but not really. I think we've all experienced it. What happens when you see a client in public? And how do we manage that? Maybe we should start with like how you talk about it in like an informed consent with a client, because I think there's another podcast we did about like our informed consent process, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, you're really good at summarizing it.
Sure. Yeah. I do think this is something that needs to be talked about with a client straight away to alert them to the fact that there are some ethical, some legal limitations on how we interact with clients as counselors, as therapists. And so certainly every time that I have a client come in, of course, during the initial informed consent process, which is an ongoing process that should continue
right.
throughout the entire therapeutic relationship. But at that initial informed consent conversation, I say, now listen, I want to let you know that if I were to see you in public, I am going to behave as if I don't know you. It is not that I am upset with you. It's not that I don't like you. I'm not attempting to be rude or standoffish. I am attempting to make sure that you don't have to explain to another person how you know me. And that is a rule for me. I'm letting you know how I'm going to behave. You are free to behave however you like. You are welcome to come and speak to me. If you do, that will not make me uncomfortable. You're also welcome not to speak to me, and that will not offend me or upset me in any way, shape, or form. That's perfectly fine. It's your right to have privacy. And I ask them if they have any questions or concerns about that. I can't remember an instance in which somebody's had a follow-up question about that. It's fairly straightforward. But I certainly want to talk with a client about that up front, so that I'm not trying to explain it on the back end of like, oh yeah, here's why I cold shouldered you at the farmer's market on Saturday.
Saw you in Kohl's and I ran away.
Yeah, exactly.
I used to see clients in Kohl's all the time. Sometimes I make it a little easier because it seems like clients forget, and then you see them out and you see like they're like little deer in headlight eyes, you know, like, oh crap, like what do I do now? I forgot what we talked about. And I'm like, if you forget everything, here's my hard line, my bold line. Two things. Don't physically harm me, which I say would be stupid anyway, because we're in public. Don't do that. And don't try and get therapy in public. And we're good. And I said, most people don't do that. I think it's happened to, we were having like a team meeting at like a Stacks, and a client came up to you trying to tell you about his divorce, and we were like, oh, this is what that feels like.
Yes.
It was really weird, but it doesn't really happen. Most people are like excited to see us, I think. And I tell people, like, I get it. I get why you're curious. I'm kind of curious about you. What are you eating? Who are you with? You know?
Yeah.
Because it's fun to see people like teachers and therapists out in the wild. So I don't blame you. I'm curious too.
Well, and I do think that there is this, like in the supervisory work that I do, I have these young counselors in training who are very frightened, and that just that the anxiety level is so high about this. They're like, oh my gosh, I saw somebody at the Publix, you know, I saw a client at the Publix, am I going to lose my license? You know, I mean, it kind of gets catastrophic like that,
especially if you live in a small town.
Well, yeah, I will say that I think being in a small town, actually, to me personally, I've just gotten really sensitized. Like I mentioned the farmer's market. I don't think I've been to the farmer's market in the past 7 years of being in private practice without seeing a client. And so it just, you know, at some point you realize like, oh yeah, I'm not doing anything wrong by just existing and going to my small town farmer's market. I'm not breaking the law. I'm not going to get in trouble with the licensure board for simply being in the same geographical location as my clients. This is not a problem. And I think there is a kind of like breath that therapists often need to take of like, I am acting out the informed consent that I'm complying with the informed consent that I obtained from my client. Like they were like, yeah, that sounds okay. And I'm acting in line with that. And I'm not doing anything illegal. I think there is a kind of, particularly if you work in a small town, there's a comfort level that you have to develop.
It's mutually respectful to hold to the informed consent. And I also say, like, it would be disrespectful to myself if I just hold myself up inside and didn't go live my life because I was afraid I was going to run into clients. And I'm not going to do that. I'm teaching you to do something that I'm not willing to do. Like, no. So, you're going to see me at the brewery.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that there are, you know, of course there are exceptions to this. You know, if I know that my client works every day at this particular coffee shop, you know, maybe there's another place for me to get coffee. In part,
the goal is not to run into them.
Yeah, yeah, right. And maybe there are just some reasonable choices that we can make to lighten the load on. Because here's the thing, right? Like, if my client works at the coffee shop, like, they don't have a say about whether they're there. Like, they have to be there, you know? And if I go up to the counter, then they have to take my order. And so that's maybe a place where I'm like, I don't want to just chronically put my client in a situation like that. But certainly, you know, the goal can't be, I'm going to live in such a way that, like, I could never see a client in a public setting. That's, you know, that is a recipe for agoraphobia and not a
depression.
Reasonable way to live. And also just completely out of keeping with the actual, I mean, I think we could say, like, the spirit of the law. Like, that rule exists for our clients. And maybe a little bit for us in the sense that, yeah, like, we can set a boundary and, you know, like, I'm at work. Now I'm not at work. I don't want to be, like, offering therapy at the Traverse West Farmers Market.
Or also worrying about, you know, like, because you do too. I like live music and you tend to have maybe a beer or something. And, like, I do, we tend to look around to be like, is anyone else here that we know? Just because, like, it is slightly, slightly different. Not bad. You just have to kind of censor yourself, is me especially.
Yeah, certainly. Now, do you think we could, let's tell some stories, if we could, about some times that we've seen clients in public, obviously without offering identifying information, but maybe just to give a picture of what this actually looks like so we're not just talking about it in theory.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I have one that immediately comes to mind.
Oh, fantastic.
I was actually out with former co-workers. We were at some restaurant just meeting up, having a girls' night, and a mother of a former client that I used to see when he was a child came up to me, and she was quite loaded.
She'd had a few drinks.
She had a few, because she's a very small person, and she was, you know, she was like, "Oh my gosh, this is the best therapist ever!" And was yelling it, and I was like, "Yeah, that's me," but I didn't do that. But she was like, "I was like, how's, you know, like, how are things going, you know?" And because she said who she was, and I didn't say anything, and everybody, they're all therapists, luckily, so they knew what to do. They knew the drill. And she just kept talking to me about how well her son was doing and all these really personal things. And I was like, that is so great. That is so great. And she's like, you look busy. I am busy. I'm enjoying this dinner. You tell your son that I hope he's really doing well and that I miss him, you know, that I'm glad he's doing well. Because I really did really like this kid. He had a special place in my heart. And it was great that he was doing well, you know. And she walked away. I didn't say anything else. And they looked at me like, I was like, so what were we talking about? And we just got back to it, you know? I also have an agreement with people that I go out with that if I don't introduce them, they can't say anything about it.
Yeah. That's
that, like, just don't ask. I'm not a rude person. I'll introduce you unless I don't know their name, and then I'll hope that they introduce themselves. But other than that, I'm trying to think of a better one.
Well, I think that it's important that you mention that about kind of alerting people that we're with, particularly if you're with them a lot, just to that kind of dynamic. It relates very much to a story that I like to share. So this is when I was still in graduate school and was in my internship. And so I was functionally doing, like, it was kind of a private practice setting. And I had these, I had these clients, or this one particular client who I'd been working with, I don't know, 5-6 weeks, something like that. So anyway, we had a friend of ours from college who was coming into, I was living in Denver at the time, she was coming into Denver to interview for this teaching program. And so she comes in, and we were going to grab dinner that night. And a few hours before we were about to grab dinner, she's like, hey, I met this guy at the training. We're just, like, making friends or whatever. And I'm thinking, like, would it be okay if he came with us? And it was a low-key dinner, you know, so I was like, oh, sure, no big deal. So we're meeting in downtown Denver, we go park, we're walking to this restaurant, and we're at this street light waiting for the little, you know, the little walking man to pop up so we can cross the street. And I look across the street, and there's our friend Helen. And then I look right next to Helen, and oh my, there is my client standing with her. And I thought to myself, oh no, oh no, oh no, oh no. And I just start internally freaking out. So we cross the street, give Helen a big hug, and then I turn to my client. I don't really say anything, and he sticks out his hand and says, oh, it's a small world.
Mm-hmm. I say that a lot. It's a small world. Look what the universe did to us today.
So then my wife says to me, she says, "Oh, you all know each other." And again, I just don't say anything.
Get the hint.
And kind of change the subject. And thankfully, somebody else pipes up and says something. And by the way, we're also with my other friend who's with me in grad school training to be a therapist. So immediately she gets it, right? My wife will not let this go. And so she keeps asking, she's like, "Well, no, but like, how do you all, like, what's the connection here? How do you know each other? And finally, my friend who was in grad school grabs my wife by the shoulders and turns her and says, "Jesse, stop asking." And then my wife, I don't know, her just blurts, "Oh, he's a client." So then...
Well, at least the cat's out of the bag now. Enjoy dinner.
Can't really walk that back. I neither confirmed nor denied. And those are the, you know, the famous words that counselors have to use. So anyways, I'm kind of stuck in this situation. I don't really know what to do. So I do the best that I know how. I don't even know if this was exactly the right. What I can say was it was a fine decision to make as a graduate student who was in training. Yeah. I was really acting in good faith, but I pulled him to the side. I said, "Hey, here's the deal. You need to be protected here. And what do you want to do? I'm more than happy. Like, I can just go get a burrito down the street and like have dinner, and then I circle up with Helen and my wife. It's like no big deal. Or I can stay. It's really about what's most comfortable for you." And we came to this agreement. We talked through a few things very quickly. I'm talking maybe a 2-minute conversation. Ended up staying, and I remember leaving just, again, frightened that of course I was going to get kicked out of graduate school and, you know, never be able to practice counseling. And
just
and, you know, nothing really came of it, in large part because you just do the best that you can. You act as a human being. You're conscientious. You're aware that there is a dynamic there, and you attend to the dynamic. You engage in an ongoing informed consent process with a client. But at the end of the day, it's like you got to do what you got to do. But I'm telling that story because there is some wisdom in alerting people, not like in the middle of a situation, but beforehand. Hey, if I don't introduce somebody, please don't ask. Please don't pry. Please don't say, "Oh, how do you guys know each other?" Which, by the way, are perfectly normal questions. Those are perfectly okay questions to ask most of the time. But there's this like particular situation, and it can be helpful to kind of prime friends and colleagues, other people that you're, you know, out with to that reality. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What else are we not talking about with this?
I think those two examples were pretty good. I used to see clients way more when I was seeing smaller kids, and they just come up to you. They don't care. They just come up to you and hug you, and, you know, the game's over there. I'm just like, "Hi, buddy," you know, and then they go back, and the mom waves, and then, you know, they leave, and it's no big deal. It's usually really no big deal, and I also tell my clients, even if it's awkward, guess what? I am so socially awkward, so we'll have a little awkward moment, and then we'll laugh about it at our next session, and they're like, "Okay."
Okay, no, actually, that's it. That's what we need to talk about. That I also think that there is something to a debrief with a client, so that when they show up, perhaps to the next session, the next time you see them, that there's, of course, this is if they're an active client. Sometimes you see clients who you've already discharged, and that's
which is
a whole
so
dynamic.
Fun, isn't it? Where you're just like, "Oh my gosh, look at them thriving."
Yeah, there is something that's kind of special about that.
You like clap in the corner, you know?
Yeah.
Because they're on stage, and you can't tell anybody why that you're clapping.
But let's say that they're an active client and they come back. That there's this thing of, "Hey, so we saw each other at, let's say, the farmer's market."
I must really like the farmer's market.
And you know, we talked after the fact. You know, how do you feel about that? I want to just check in with you. And by the way, it's not even 9 times out of 10. It's 95 out of 100. People are like, "Yeah, I don't know. I didn't really think anything of it." And you say, "Oh, okay. Just wanted to check in. You know, let me know if you ever feel, you know, some type of way about it, and we can talk more about it." But again, this just gets back to, like, I think it's Marina Bluestein, our friend, who just really made this observation clear, I think, for us, where sometimes informed consent gets talked about as this thing that happens at the beginning of your first session, and it's like, "Oh yeah, you sign your paperwork." And Marina is so good to observe that informed consent is a constant, ongoing, unraveling process that you're constantly engaged in with a client. And so that's why, you know, you can't, let's say that we see a client in public and they're, and immediately they come up to us and they're like, oh my gosh, it's so nice to see you. And how have you been? And it's so fun seeing you here. And oh, by the way, let me introduce you to my five friends. Oh, this is Calvin, my therapist. And he's helped me so much with my depression and my divorce and my, like all that gets spilled out. It's also unreasonable for me then let's say that I were to see them again, to assume that in this new context, on this new day, in this new situation, that they're going to be equally comfortable with chatting with me and engaging with me, that is always something that's the prerogative of a client, that they have agency and choice in that.
Yeah, it's like a shared responsibility, I think.
Yeah.
Well, I think we covered it.
I think we did. Thank you all very much for listening. Keep listening. We'll, I'm sure, have an episode coming out. I don't know. I think we're planning to release these about one a week or every other week. So stay tuned. We will see you next time. Thank you very much.